lesson that went last week, but it's not a two-part lesson. So it's not part two, but it will be part one of a two-part lesson, okay? But it is related to last week's lesson in the sense that as we are about to, as we continue on our Christian path, and as we're about to embark on a more robust personal evangelistic thrust this year, the lesson last week is telling us not to give any excuses. Am I correct? And we learn from Moses that he was not to give excuses. And he gave excuses, but in the end, he overcame his fear and did what God wanted him to do. That's important. So we learned that last week from Moses. Moses learned that God was with him, and therefore he carried out what God wanted him to do. This evening's lesson is also inspired by what is taking place in the world today. And I note that Michael Myrie, in his song leading this morning, he said something to that effect. I think you said it in relation to a song you were leading, that the world is really getting, it is bad from before, and it is even, we are seeing it evident in our times. No. Church, I was shocked this week to learn that not only do we have transgender, not only do we have transgender, but you have another one though they call transabled. I didn't know about that one. You know about it, Michael? Transabled. People who feel that they are disabled, although they are not. And there was a case of somebody who blinded herself because she felt that she was blind. What's the world coming to? When I listen to the radio or watch the television, you know, in my growing up, certain things were said and done. And you say, boy, people would think that is unreasonable. Or people would say that that is not right. No, people are defending it. So we are living in a world now where right is wrong and wrong is right. Everything is flipped around now. That's the world that we are living in. And this world is going to impact on the Christian as we live our Christian lives. And even as we go out to teach people, it's going to impact on our Christian lives. And it's going to call for courage. And that's the title of the lesson. Courage, a case study of Joshua. Courage, a case study of Joshua. So we're spending a lot of time today, tonight, in Joshua chapter 1. And different verses in Joshua chapter 1. Now, what is the definition of courage? From the dictionary, courage is defined as mental or moral strength to venture, persevere, and withstand danger, fear, or difficulty. The dictionary defines courage as a mental or moral strength to venture, persevere, and withstand danger, fear, or difficulty. And I add to that ridicule. Because sometimes people want to laugh you out of your faith, your Sister Adria. They will ridicule you that you're old fashioned. What's that all about? That was not in the modern times. You have to have courage, Brother Cunningham, to stand up to what is coming. Some terrible things are happening here now, and we have to have courage, but even worse is going to come. Because when the developed economies sneeze, third world countries like Jamaica, we catch the cold. So look out for some terrible things to come. Now, what was the context of Joshua, though? Joshua was a new leader. And he was taken over from Moses, am I correct? So Joshua had a very important job to bring the people into the promised land. And God is going to say to him more than one time in the chapter, be strong and of good what? Courage. And God is going to say that to him about 3 or 4 times. We want to learn from that. What is God? You may say to yourself, who is going to give us Christian courage? And you may answer, you say, God gives us courage. And you'll be correct. But the answer will be too general. If you just answer, say, God give you courage, you're correct, you know. But it's too general. God is going to give us certain ingredients that will help us to be courageous. That's what God is going to provide for us. All of what it's going to take for us to be courageous in this world that we live in now. And he did it for Joshua. We're going to learn. Let's look at verse 1 of Joshua. In verse 1 of Joshua chapter 1, it says, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, listen carefully, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all the people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Look at verse 3. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Now listen very carefully now. Verse 4 also. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. If this was a Wednesday night Bible study, I would have asked you, what is the ingredient of courage in these verses? But you get away from it tonight because it's not a Wednesday night Bible study, right, Michael? So you don't have to guide you into seeing it then. Hitler, listen carefully to me, Hitler was an evil man, wasn't he? Hitler was an evil man. But he had a firm belief in what he was doing. And he had courage, even although he was evil. What gave him that courage? What gave him that conviction? The racist people who kill blacks in America, they are wrong. They are evil, but they have courage and they have strength of belief in what they are doing. What gives them that? From verse 1 of Joshua chapter 1 to about verse 4 is a clue to what gives courage. What gives us courage, Christians, listen carefully, is that we are not just thinking of ourselves in a parochial, personal way. Listen carefully, in an individualistic way. We know that God has given us a what? A mission. Fabian talked about it earlier today. That we are called. Am I correct, Fabian? We are called to a mission. That mission is bigger than ourselves. Am I correct? Yes. That mission is bigger than ourselves, and therefore we are called to live up to that mission. And that is an ingredient of courage. Because you are called to do something outside of yourself, bigger than yourself. So Hitler believed, O'Neill, that his race was a super race. And that no other race, he despised Jews versus blacks. So he strongly believed in it, and it gave him courage to pursue what he wanted to do. Listen carefully. So God is telling Joshua now, look here, Joshua. My servant Moses is dead. And I'm calling you now to step up to the plate. you are now going to be my servant. That's why in verse 2 he says to him, Fabian, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them. That's the mission. Am I correct? Yes. Even to the children of Israel. This mission I'm giving you, I am predicting that you are going to be successful in it. So every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, I have already given it unto you. So this mission, he said unto him, from the wilderness to Lebanon, to the great river Euphrates, unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. That's the mission. Now imagine Joshua getting a mission like this. That must start him feeling courageous. Am I correct? Yes. We have a mission also, that we are to go where? Into all the world. Am I correct? And preach the gospel to every creature. That mission must stir us up and give us that courage to accomplish a mission. It's not mission impossible. It is very possible, because God is with us and God is saying to you, you will be successful. So the first thing we are seeing here is that when you have a clear view of what you are to do, when you have a clear view of your mission, then the courage, your courage is going to start to what? Grow. Because you're thinking of something outside of yourself. Remember, no? I tell you, evil people get strength and courage from what they are doing, because they believe in that bigger vision. Even evil people. So can you imagine us now? If you are true Christian and you believe in the mission, the great commission that Christ has given us, you must start to get a little bit of courage. Yes, because you're called. Listen to the lesson Fabian gave this morning from last week. You know, we are called. So that we're going to need the courage though as we go about. But the very call supposed to give you some courage. Because the very call now, he said, this is bigger than you. And I'm trusting you to take it on. So you must now start to develop some courage. So we have learned that so far. We're going to learn something else that can build our courage. And it's all in the scriptures, you know. Let's look now at verse 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before you. That's God talking to Joshua, you know. No man, Brother Cunningham, will be able to stand before him all the days of your life. Listen this now. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you. Am I right, Brother Cunningham? I will not forsake you. This is God talking to Joshua now. And if this was a Wednesday night Bible study, I would ask you what this is. But then again, Brother Peart, you get away from me because it's a Sunday night. So I have to guide you to tell you what it is. I lead you a laugh. Everybody get away from me today. You feel me, guys? That's a Wednesday night Bible study. This is what you call the assurance of God. What do you call it? The assurance of God. The assurance, what assurance means? When I look in the dictionary, assurance says it means a positive declaration intended to give confidence. Listen what it is. An assurance is a positive declaration intended to give what? confidence. It's not just a promise, you know, but it's more grounded, more rooted. That when you get that assurance, you feel so strong within yourself. Am I correct? Yes. So God is giving him. God is saying to him first, look here, Joshua. You know Moses. So God is now going into some history with him. History important, you know. So God is going to some history with him and say, look at Moses. We not only have Moses in us, Christian. We have Moses, Joshua, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. We have the whole history, all of these heroes of faith. We have them. We know that God had worked with them, Andrea. Am I correct? And God brought them through victorious to do his will. So we have all of these heroes of faith to look up to. That should give you courage. That is what God said to him here in this verse, Brother Vivian. God is saying, look here now. There shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. There is a colon. The same thing I did for Moses, I'm going to do it for you. As I was with Moses. In the same manner I was with Moses. In the same way I was with Moses, I am going to be with you no less. In the same way, I will be with you. Then God go further, you know. I think there's a colon there as well. I will not fail you. When God tell you that, you know, O'Neill, that's a big thing, you know. When God say, I will not fail you. I will not forsake you. So when you go out there in the world of work and you're living the Christian life and they ridicule you, they even threaten you, threaten your job security because of what you believe, it may come a time when Brother Mitchell or anybody doing a marriage license may lose their license. That time may come. So there are so many things that is going to may very well happen. But even in the midst of that, there is the assurance that God says, I will not leave you. I will not fail you. I will not forsake you. The same way I was with all the heroes of the Bible, is the same manner I am going to be with you. So, Brother Rakai, the same way God was with Moses, the same way God was with Abraham, the same way God was with the Apostle Peter, is the same way he's going to be with Rakai. Are you seeing that? Because he's saying that he is assuring. The assurance now is going to build your confidence. You see where I'm going? So the assurance that God gives, it's still God who gives it, you know. So you're not wrong when you say God give you courage. You're not wrong. But God is giving you the assurance that should build your courage. So the first thing, let's summarize as we go along, is that God is going to give us an assignment, a mission, bigger than ourselves. And that should give us some courage, that God trusts us to take it on. Moses never realized how blessed he was when God picked him. Last week we saw that. God has chosen all of us now. He called us. Remember the Fabian lesson? He called us to this great mission. That should give you courage. He didn't only call you and leave you. He could call you and leave you. But he didn't call you and leave him. He called you and he gave you assurance now that he is going to be with you. What else can build our courage? Let's look now at verse 6. Because after he told him that he's not going to leave him, he follows it up now in verse 6 now, Brother Cunningham, by saying, be strong and of a what? Good courage. Listen this part now. For unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto your fathers to give them. Joshua got the courage. You remember how the children of Israel behaved themselves? You remember how ungrateful they were to God and to Moses? That caused Moses to, when he should speak to the rock, he get so vexed, he took the rod and hit the rock. You remember how those people behaved? Oh my gosh. No wonder God tell Joshua you gotta need the courage. So he says in verse 6, be strong and of a good courage. Then the colon comes now. For unto these people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto your fathers to give them. When you have to deal with people, Wait, am I right, Michael? When you have to, even Christian people, you're going to need courage. When you have to take certain stand, when you have to make certain decisions, you're going to need courage. Because God is telling him, can you remember now, he's going to be a leader now, but appeared. He's taking off from Moses. People are going to compare him to Moses all the time. Human nature always like compare. Brother, this never do this. And you come now, you want to do this. You get what I said? Actually, I just start smiling. You know, that's how people are. That's why you have even contention in the churches of Christ, even in America. When person step down from the pulpit, somebody will say, oh, him never do this, and him never do that. So that's what Joshua is going to face. Because Joshua is taking over from Moses. And Joshua have to carry out certain tasks. And he's going to need courage. So this was courage meant, courage now in the application of it. As you live your Christian life, in applying the principles that God give you, you're going to need what? To courageous. You're going to need to be courageous. You're going to need to be strong. You think this pulpit is an easy task for Brother Mitchell over the years? It has not been easy for him. And it's not going to be easy for anybody who takes on the pulpit for any congregation at the Lord's church because of people. You have to manage people and the complications of people and human nature. So you're going to need to be courageous and you're going to need to be strong. Look at verse 7 now. Only be thou strong and very courageous. God put very this time, oh, very courageous. That thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This courage now is going to be anchored by your dedication to the word of God, to your stability in the word of God. So you're going to get this courage coming from when you meditate upon the word of God, when you know it. When you know the truth, when you know it fully, and you must not move away from the truth. You neither must turn to the left, am I correct? Nor turn to the right. So you're going to have that courage now, because you know you stand on truth. So courage coming from the word of God. Let us look at verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. But you shall what? Meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. So you must abide by what is written. Even Christ was able to get rid of Satan by saying to him, it is what? It is written. Courage is going to come from that. For thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and that thou shalt have good success. Good success, not materialistic way, as we talk about in Sunday school class, but good success spiritually, because you stand by the word, Brother Cunningham. You stand by the word. You are going to be courageous. When the people in the world trying to make you believe other things, transgender, transable, that one really catch me off guard. I didn't know about transable until this week. Transable, trans this, trans that. They have so many trans, now I'm losing track. When they tell you about this trans this and trans that and trans this and trans that, you tell them verse and chapter, verse and chapter. You're going to conquer this trans thing with verse and chapter, because you would have meditated upon the word of God day and night, and it's going to give you what? Courage. Am I right, Fabian? It's going to give us courage. Am I right, O'Neill? Yes. Courage. So verse 9, he says no. Look at verse 9. Verse 9 is an important one. I want somebody to read verse 9 for me. Brother O'Shane or Brother Rakoi, read verse 9 for me of the same chapter.
Have not I commanded thee?
Stop a second. He asked my question now. Because all along, you know, he said to him, be strong and have good courage. Says, have not I said this to you? Have not I commanded you this? Continue.
Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid.
Stop. Can you remember Moses last week, or Moses was fearful? So he's saying, be strong. Good courage, man. Be not afraid. Continue.
Neither be thou dismayed.
It's a different word. Dismayed is a different word from afraid. And dismayed now is like you have a sense of confusion. You don't know what you're about now. And this is the world that we are living in now. The Christian can actually, if the Christians are not grounded in truth, you know, and in the word of truth, you can be so dismayed by what is going on around you. But I say, oh, this is really wrong. Is this really wrong? The argument and the logics that they are using, is this really wrong? And when it's a certain people believing in it, people you held in high esteem, you are dismayed. So dismayed have that kind of concept of you kind of know, your mind now get into kind of waves now of doubts and all that kind of thing now, and you are dismayed. So God is saying to him, be strong of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. Listen to the other part now, Rakoi.
For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest.
He gives him assurance again. Do you see that? He gives him assurance again. And then he tells him something very important that some of you might miss. For the Lord thy God. The Lord has to be your God enough for you not to be dismayed. So for the Lord thy God, he has to be your personal God. Thy God, he is with you wherever you go. So again now, he gives him the assurance again, Sister Andrea. So we also have the same assurance that Joshua had. Am I correct? Yes. Look at verse 18 now. Read that for me now, Brother Rakoi.
Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment and will not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage.
Why did he follow that phrase, only be strong and of a good courage, when he talks about Joshua putting somebody to death? Very, very critical for us. Because it's not every action that the church takes is going to be what? Popular. Am I correct? Yes. Some very unpopular things are going to be done. That's going to upset a lot of people. But even in that situation, if those people are not following the commandments of God, and you have to take a an unpopular stand against them, you're still going to need courage to do it. It's still not easy. It's not easy. Not easy at all. We're talking about it is what it is in real life, though, you know. So by the church, many, many years, family in the church, that church family, you know, and something go wrong, and they start to go backwards, and the minister can't put up with that, you know. So you have to take a stand. So even in that stand now, God says to him, only be what? Strong. And of a good what? Courage. So even in areas of discipline, you need to have this courage. This courage to live the Christian life. To make certain decisions, you're going to need to have that courage. Let us revise. Okay, you know, I don't like to go too long because I want you to remember what I teach you tonight in your head. I don't want you to forget anything, so we're going to summarize. What is courage? We said that courage is a mental or moral strength to deal with certain things, to persevere, to withstand danger, fear, difficulty, even to withstand ridicule. That's what courage is. And we saw certain things that will help us, the Christian. We saw in the case study of Joshua, certain things that will help us, the Christian, to develop this courage that we need. As we are called, Fabian, listen, we are called. As we are called, we're going to need to have the what? The courage. And the first thing that we must believe in to have that courage, we can't be wishy-washy Christian. We can't be weak people. Because even evil people with conviction will destroy a person who is strong. Evil people with conviction will destroy a weaker person who have the will to do well, to do right. So our courage now must anchor itself in that larger mission that we are called upon to take part in. Remember, the treasure is we are now in earthen what? Vessel. God has called us to this big mission, and we are privileged and blessed. Am I right, church? To be a part of this mission. And the byproduct of that is that we are getting courageous. Yes. The courage now is also developed when we get the assurance from God. Am I correct? And he gives us the assurance. I am with you. He may pull from history to tell us that he was with others in the past. The same way I was with others in the past, I am going to be with you. In the same manner. Am I right, Vivian? Yes. And the courage is anchored by the word of God. He told Joshua to meditate upon it day and night and to observe it and to turn neither from the left nor to the right. And when you know you have courage, you know, is when they can take the most unpopular stand. When 97% of the church turn against you. Can you imagine that? We can't talk about it now. When everybody is not saying amen to what you are going to do, Sister Mavis, when the minister or the assistant ministers or the leading brothers and sisters in the church have to take a stand, and there is hardly any amen for what they are doing. Am I right, Fabian? No amen at all for what they're doing. What am I going with? That kind of thing. And you're still going to need courage. Even at that time. Now, in the lesson to come next week, now we're going to show we're going to move away from the case study and to show now how this courage will help us as Christians as we do evangelism and as we live the Christian life, how the courage is going to be so important to us. So I hope that this lesson will have been of some help to you, and that I call Michael now to do the song.